This is KBOX Heart of the Arts Podcast. I'm Greg Kostroba. The Musica Nova Orchestra, conducted by Warren Cohen, will be in concert Sunday evening, March 24th at 6 at the Musical Instrument Museum. The concert is called Dead Elvis and Other Gems. We've got Warren Cohen on the phone from New Jersey, and in the studio, the bassoon soloist in Dead Elvis, Christy Lynn Woods. Welcome.
Thank you.
Warren, why did you decide on this very diverse program? You've got Haydn, you've got Franz Kromer with a couple of clarinets, Peggy Glanville Hicks, who's a terrific composer, not at all well known, and then this piece by Michael Dougherty called Dead Elvis. Is there something that ties all of this together?
Yes, what ties them together is kind of this idea of parody and the idea of kind of breaking down pretensions and breaking down expectations, because all of the pieces have elements in them where they set up expectations in a certain way, and then they completely go against the expectations that are there. And they happen in various different ways, but it's part of the delight of all of these pieces is the fact that they are not what they seem to be just by reading the title.
Haydn's is one of his symphonies, and he's known for his many tricks throughout all of his compositions.
Well, yes, but in this particular piece, there is a trick that he pulls that he never pulled in any other symphony and is quite different and quite unique. And there are tricks throughout the piece in just the usual Haydn way. I mean, Haydn very much did like to undermine expectations, right? That's why he has the surprise symphony. And there's all those other symphonies where he does strange things. But what he does in this one is particularly unique and quite a bit of fun. I don't want to give it away because I want people to show up at the concert.
Where is it in the symphony and which movement?
Right near the end.
So people enjoy Haydn and then have a surprise at the end. What are the tricks in the other pieces? We've got a concerto for two clarinets by Franz Kromer, who was born just a few years after Mozart.
Now, Kromer's clarinet concerto is a very interesting opening, because when you had a concerto at that particular time, you'd usually have a fairly long introduction by the orchestra. Well, what Kromer does is he has the clarinets come blazing in the second bar, and they're playing the tune, and the feeling is almost like they were so enthusiastic about what they wanted to play, they couldn't wait for the introduction. And he does that as one of the tricks that he does. Now, Kromer was a composer who, in terms of his character, was almost relentlessly cheerful. And you get a lot of that in this particular piece. And then in the last movement, he has if you talk about an expectation, he has a very, very long passage, which comes back later in the movement again, where the clarinets are accompanied only by pizzicato strings for a very long time. And that is kind of a tremendously unusual device for the time period. I've never really heard of another piece that does it to that extent. And it's kind of, again, it's an interesting and unusual idea. And there's a number of other things in the slow movement. One of the things is he starts the slow movement in one key and ends it in a completely different one. So there's a lot of expectations that are not met in that piece as well.
And as we continue going backwards from the program, from Haydn's Symphony No. 98 to this concerto for two clarinets by Franz Kromer, we come up with Peggy Glanville Hicks. Tell us a little bit about her and about these three gymnopédies.
Peggy Glanville Hicks was a fascinating character and an amazing composer. I mean, I absolutely love her music. It's tremendously original. I've never heard anybody who sounds like her. And the influences that came about from, I guess, to a certain extent, from her world travels. She was born in Australia. As a young woman, she lived in England. She also spent about 20 years living in Greece. She was a critic for the New York Herald Tribune and lived in New York for a number of years, lived in the States on two separate occasions, was a confidant of Paul Bowles, and in fact spent some time living in Algeria. Very, very eclectic mix of influences in her music, but in particular, the Greek influence is strong. Now, of course, Gymnopédie is a Greek reference, isn't it? That's what, you know, the idea of this kind of statuesque dance, which is what Satie had it as. She took the expectations set up by Satie and played with them and created quite a different idea, but at the same time, she makes references to Satie, almost as though she's saying to you, I think you're expecting to hear this, but you're going to hear something a little bit different. And then she goes in a different direction with some of it.
And that brings us to Dead Elvis, which the title already doesn't meet any expectations at all. Michael Dougherty's famous for using pop culture in his compositions. Let's talk about how it fits in the program. You put it first.
Yes. Well, that was at least partly for practical reasons, but it's also a great way to start a program because it just comes out blazing. The idea is you take Elvis, and the question is, did Elvis sell his soul to the devil? The bassoon soloist is supposed to be dressed in an Elvis costume, suggesting the 1970s Elvis, the Elvis of Las Vegas, who was, when people think of Elvis as a sellout, that's what they think of. And in the piece, what he does is he makes references to some Elvis tunes, some of them quite explicit, actually. And he also uses the plain chant, the Dies Irae, which is, of course, the chant for the dead. And he uses that, and it's a series of variations on that idea. So you hear this plain chant, you hear a bunch of, like, definitely rock and roll riffs that are played pretty much straight. And then you also hear Elvis vibrato, which is kind of a very interesting term. And within that, he tries to tie all these pieces together to create a mood that suggests both rock and roll and American popular culture, but also comes down on the side of creating this mood that talks about Elvis without explicitly referencing him in many ways. It's a very interesting piece. Dougherty, of course, as you know, always uses these iconic ideas from popular culture. But I think the Elvis idea is kind of one of the most iconic of all.
Warren Cohen, I know you have to go. Thanks for spending some time.
Thank you so much.
In the studio with me is Christy Lynn Woods. She's the bassoonist in Dead Elvis. You're going to wear the Elvis costume?
I am, yes. You know, it's suggested, not required. So Warren pointed out there are not a lot of direct references to Elvis, right, in the music because copyright concerns, I'm assuming. And so I think to tie together the title, the thought behind it, the story behind it, and then what you actually see on stage, I feel like that's probably a pretty important element.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the copyright. Are these stylized versions of Elvis tunes? Are there notes that people would know? Would you recognize Hound Dog or something showing up in there or no?
No. So for the most part, this is a contemporary piece where there is a lot of like taking an idea and then layering it. There are rock and roll riffs. There are, especially close to the end, there's this little riff that is pulled from like music that Elvis would have played as he like went on or off stage. The only melody that you're going to hear that's going to really like connect this with an Elvis song. Elvis actually borrowed the melody from an Italian song. I don't want to like ruin any surprises or anything, but Elvis borrowed the melody from O Sole Mio from one of his songs. And so that is directly quoted.
So essentially, you're really trying to get the vibe of what an Elvis concert in a sense would be like, at least by dressing up with him.
Absolutely. Again, this is one of those things where different performers are going to bring different elements to it. Some people go really over the top and really want to bring in like an Elvis impersonator kind of an element to it. I am seeing it more as I'd like to bring more of like an Elvis personality to it, you know, like stage personality. But I don't know that my interpretation is going to be quite as over the top as like if you go research YouTube videos. And I don't want to do anything that doesn't feel genuine.
You're talking about being a contemporary piece and just using flashes of Elvis or creating this Elvis vibe. But there's a lot of Dies Irae in it. That was a tune used by Rachmaninoff and hundreds of composers throughout the centuries about death.
It means there's doom. There's something about this story is doomed. And I think that that's actually what it's about. I think it's actually focused more on this idea of, is Elvis the soldier that sold his soul for financial gain in the music world or wherever? Not only just Elvis, but just fame in general. Is that an element? Is that required for success in fame? I think it's more about just using Elvis as an example for this like idea that Dougherty has.
with the question of Elvis selling his soul to the devil, and we know the tragic way that he passed away, is Michael Dougherty kind of showing some of that tragedy in this piece?
I don't think that this is meant to capture tragedy. I think he's much more light about it. I think especially the like rock and roll grooves and the sounds that are being used, I think it's meant to be sort of an upbeat reflection, if that could be an upbeat reflection on like doom.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So it's this kind of juxtaposition of doom, because we know how Elvis died, and in a sense paying tribute to him, really, mm-hmm. because with the rock and roll riffs, you can't not have something about Elvis without his massive role in pop culture for decades.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really what it's more about. The death is obviously like a big part of the Elvis story, really and truly, because Dougherty specifically wants you wearing the 1970s style jumpsuit. I think it's meant to be a snapshot of like a specific period in Elvis's life before he really goes off the deep end.
Christine Lynn Woods, bassoonist in the solo role in Dead Elvis by Michael Dougherty. It kicks off the program by the Musica Nova Orchestra. Warren Cohen conducting at the Musical Instrument Museum Sunday evening, March 24th at 6. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
For the KBOC Heart of the Arts podcast, I'm Greg Kostraba.